If you turn this morning to Luke 18, again, already in so many ways, God has sought to minister in this service, and let's let him continue to minister. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for the Word of God. It gives body to everything we experience and feel and sing and testify about. It's the Word of God that gives substance to that. And I'm thankful for His Word. Would you stand for the reading of God's Word, Luke 18, beginning with verse 1. Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, here's one of those soul-searching questions. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? I want us to take another look at verse 5. It's the kind of the pivot of the whole parable. Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Perhaps another word that we would use today for troubleth is bother. Because this widow bothers me. Now I'm going to take that tongue in cheek and I'll explain as we preach this morning. But I want to entitle this morning, Bother God. Bother God. You see, I believe God does answer prayer. But the secret is, it's those that continue in prayer that finds he answers prayer. Those who continue in prayer when it doesn't seem like the answer's ever going to come are the ones that are going to be there when it does come. Bother God. Father, help us this morning. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that's in the house. Lord, shut up my mind to the truth and remove every distraction. Lord, you know every need of every person in the house. I pray you'd minister by the power of your Holy Spirit. Jesus, be Jesus in our midst. Lord, let us sense a stirring in our hearts, an eternal moment. May we know, Lord, that you who spoke this parable is amongst us. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I was visiting at the nursing home this week, and the shut-in that I went to see, the first thing she asked me was this. Did you hear that lady down the hall crying out? Well, it happened to be at the moment I came, there was a pause, and I didn't hear it. So I said, no, I didn't hear anything. She said, all morning long, even from the nighttime, over and over and over, that woman down the hall is called out for help. And there's what she thinks is wrong. There's nothing wrong, but she keeps crying out for help. Well, we visited for just a few moments, and all of a sudden that lady began again, just over and over, that pitiful cry for help. I'm telling you, when you hear a continual cry like that, with that desperation in it, you can't ignore that kind of cry. That persistent, insistent cry is something, if you have any heart, you cannot ignore. It will get your attention. Those of you that are parents, you know that you cannot ignore the persistent cry of a child crying for you. But I want to tell you, we have a God, a caring and loving God, who is more in tune to our cries than we are to those things that I mentioned. And I believe when somebody continually cries out to God, I believe God is in tune with that. He hears that. It catches, it captures his attention. Aren't you glad we can say with the psalmist to God, your ears are open to my cry. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him from all his fears. What is going on in this parable? We read in verse 1 that Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end. To this end. We read it just a little bit. We discover that Jesus is saying, I'm going to tell you this thing. I'm going to tell you this parable because I know what you, my disciples, are about to face. I know what you're going to go through. I'm going to depart, and I know at my departure the terrible things, the conflict, the adversity that my people are going to face. Amen. It's like that today. He knows even today that his disciples are going to face things that would cause them to faint. We're going to face things that will cause us to lose heart. And Jesus said, because I know you're going to face things that will cause you despair and cause you discouragement and cause you disillusionment and cause you depression, because I know you're going to face those things, I'm going to tell you that you need to pray, because it's only in prayer that you'll be able to come in as a victor over that. Jesus says to them, you're going to face things. You are going to be tempted to throw in the towel. You're going to be tempted to give in, give out, give up. But he says, you don't have to throw in the towel. You don't have to give in. You don't have to give up. You don't have to give out. You can pray. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. That ought to be our response to whatever problem we have this morning. I'm not going to faint. I'm going to pray. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to pray. I'm not turning back. I'm going to pray. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad we don't have to faint? And they that wait upon the Lord, they that pray to God, shall renew their strength and mount up with wings as eagles. The word faint here literally means to fail in heart. Amen. To faint isn't just to be discouraged. To faint is to succumb to the discouragement. To faint is literally, as I put it a moment ago, it's to give out, to give in, give up. I listen to people today, and some of them have served God for years, and I hear things like, I just feel like giving up. I hear folks say, I don't think I can go on. Just don't think I can go on. I've heard folks say, I'm just tired of fighting. I'm tired of facing what I face. Jesus knew that his disciples would always face this kind of pressure. And he's saying, and I know I'm being redundant, but it's something we got to get ingrained. He said, you've got an option when you feel like giving up. Just start praying and keep on praying and never fail to pray. He said, if my disciples will persist in prayer, they in the end will not faint. They will go on. They will make it. They will be victors. How many knows, as his disciples in 2012, as believers of the last days, we live in times that challenge our faith. If your faith isn't being challenged, you're not trying to live it. Amen. We live in the last days in times that will cause us to question our beliefs. We face things today that will sap our energy. We face things that drain our joy, that tax our hope. But Jesus is telling us, in those times, we need not faint. We can just keep on praying. Hallelujah. Or to put it this way, those who are fainting are not praying, and those that are praying are not fainting. I want to say it again, those that are giving in, those that are giving up, those that are fainting are not praying. But thank God, those that are praying, they're not giving in, they're not giving up, they're not fainting, and they will endure to the end. whatever they face. I'm glad Jesus dealt with realities. They wouldn't let him on a lot of religious programs. They'd tell him he's too negative, telling folks that they're going to face things where they'd feel like giving up and fainting. But that's just half the reality. The other half of reality is prayer works. Prayer's the antidote. Hallelujah. And you could have come in here this morning, just feel like you can't go on another step, but just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. You say, well, I had a talk. It's still here. Have another talk. He's still here. Have another talk. It's still here. Have another talk. Because they that are praying are not fainting. Hallelujah. Men ought always to pray. Always. At every time. In every kind of situation. And every mood and frame of mind you find yourself in. I want to tell you, if the only times I prayed were the times I felt like praying, I wouldn't pray very much, and neither would you. But he said, men ought always to pray. I don't feel like worshiping. Worship anyway, and you won't faint. I don't feel like going to the altar. Go anyway, and you will not faint. I don't feel like visiting the prayer room. Go ahead anyway, and you will not faint. Oh, Brother Brock, as long as we keep on praying, we need not be a casualty by the wayside. Amen. We must maintain an attitude of heart that we at any time, at any place, under any circumstance, can talk to God. What is the earthly illustration? Verse 2. There was a judge. He feared not God, neither regarded man. In other words, this judge was not inclined to hear this woman. This judge was not inclined to help this woman. Basically, he's a heartless bureaucrat. That's what he is. He's not motivated by morals. He doesn't fear God. He's not motivated by compassion. He doesn't regard man. Not motivated by morals or compassion. Even probably the only thing he was motivated by was money, bribes, and the widow had no money. Therefore, he would not even countenance her request. Verse 3, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. That she cried out to be avenged is an indication to us that she had been hurt. She had been taken advantage of. Someone had gotten to her. But being hurt, she went to the only one in that city that could help her. She went to the one that had the power and authority to help her. When she was done wrong, she didn't take her problem to the neighbor. When she was done wrong, when she was hurt, she didn't just spread it around town. She went to the one that had it in his ability to help her. I wish folks would get a hold of that. If you've been done wrong, if you've been hurt, if you've been taken advantage of, don't just take it to any and everyone. Don't just spread it throughout the community. Take it to the one who can help you. You see, I don't know how I've been hurt. It won't help to share it with this one and that one and this one. And I'm not saying we don't have confidants and people to pray with us. I'm just saying, when you've been hurt, take it to the one who can help. Take it to the one that can make a difference. She knew this judge was the only one who could help her. In the Bible times, widows were particularly defenseless, and that's why the Bible says so much about making sure you don't take advantage of widows, but you help them. In those Bible times, a widow was without income, she was without status, she was without position in the community. And this widow in particular, by every indication, she has no resources, she has no influence, she has no status. And notice, by coming to court by herself, she has no one to represent her. She has no one to plead her case. Being a widow without resources, she's vulnerable. She was in a place that she could be taken further advantage of. But evidently, her case was a just case. She wasn't asking for anything, but
justice. It is in all probability because she was so reduced in her financial condition. We don't know this for sure, but in all probability, she had been cheated out of money. She had been cheated out of her livelihood. Perhaps she'd been cheated out of her inheritance. We can only surmise, but her fervency was of such that this was a necessity that that judge pay attention to her case. Verse 4, and that judge would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, amen. He came to that place. He wasn't going to give her countenance. He wasn't going to listen to her. And for a long period of time, he just did everything he could to get rid of her. I don't know if any of you are a student or a reader of Charles Dickens' books, but in describing those times, in many of his stories, he would have an example of someone that did not get the money coming to them, and they would start out as a young person going to court every time it was open, trying to get their case to be heard. They would come again and again and again and again, and they became old people and never did get that case answered, never did get that case met. It's a real problem. Verse 5, yet the judge said, because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Amen. He said, I wasn't going to listen to her, but she's so persistent. She never gets up. She's like a fly flying around my face that I can't. I'm going to have to do something for her. Now, I tell you, I don't know if you've ever been there, but I was before a judge a while back with a just case, and it went in my favor. But as I stood there, that judge never even looked at me. Just one little glance, went back to right and didn't even act like they were listening. And I'll tell you, if you've ever been there, that can do something to you when you're trying to talk to a judge and he's not even looking at you. How many's ever been in that position, not even paying attention to you, it seems? And that's the way it was with this woman. She would go to court and the judge wouldn't even look at her. Every day she stood in line in the docket, and when it was her turn to make her plea, she would begin to make her plea and the judge would interrupt and say, next case. And they would usher her out. She came the next day and stood in line in the docket. It was her turn. She walked up to the seat of the judge and just began to plead. And he lowered the gavel and said, next case. Can you imagine day after day trying to get your case across, and every day the gavel comes down with no judgment, simply to say, next case? But she might have heard next case today, but she was going to be there tomorrow. And tomorrow she might have heard next case, but the next day she was there. I believe the thing that got to her the most, and it has you too, when she left that courtroom, having heard other people get their case listened to and having gotten their case answered. Don't you know that got to her? She sat there waiting her turn, and the judge listened to other folks and took care of their case. You've been that way. It seemed like God was answering everybody's prayer but yours. God was taking care of everybody's case but yours. Oh, but like the lady, story's not over. Hallelujah. If you feel that way this morning, looks like God's moving for everybody else but you. Story's not over. Keep on praying. You don't need to faint. You don't need to give up. Amen. So the judge had no motive. He did not fear God. He did not regard men. But he did something because she was persistent. He was not moved by moral compunction. He was not motivated by human opinion. He was not even touched by compassion or pity. But he was tired of the continual asking. He said, this widow troubleth me. I found that an extremely interesting word. I did some study on it. This was the word they used when two boxers were boxing, and the guy that was just getting beat up, getting his eyes black, getting bruised and bloodied, he'd say about that other boxer, he's troubling me. It literally comes from the word to make bruises. I'm telling you, that little widow lady must have been awful insistent and persistent that judge would say, she's just bloodying me up. I go home feeling bruised by the way she just keeps pleading. I mean, she just won't let up. She wears me out. We used to have an old English word that fit really good here, badger. I mean, remember using that? I mean, she just keeps badgering me. Well, maybe it's not as powerful, but the word is bother. She just keeps on bothering me. I've shared before, but when Hannah was young and still today, when she wants to get my attention and I'm not immediately attentive, she starts in. It starts in quiet and a little slow. Dad, dad, dad. Dad, 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 dad. Yes, what is it? I'm sure that's the way that judge. Sorry, Hannah, if you ever listen to this. Now you can start saying Caleb, Caleb, Caleb. That's the way that judge felt. She's badgering, she's bothering me to death. What was Jesus driving at? Verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Pay attention to what he said. What did he say? I'm only hearing her because she's persistent. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he be long, bear long with them. Now, listen, we got to be very careful here. Jesus is not saying that God is like the unjust judge. He's not comparing God to the unjust judge. He's contrasting God to an unjust judge. In other words, if an unjust judge will finally listen and answer a continual, consistent plea, how much more do you think that a caring and loving and merciful Father God will not listen to us if we'll just keep praying? Oh, aren't you glad for that? Hallelujah. And so the focus here isn't that God's like the unjust judge. The focus is we should be like that widow. That's what Jesus is driving at. He's not trying to get us to make comparisons between God and the unjust judge. He's trying to say to his people, to this end, brother, may he spake the parable. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And so what he's saying to the disciples, be like that widow lady. Just continue to come. Continue to come. And continue to come. And continue to come. Never give up. Never quit praying. God's not like the unjust judge. He's like a just judge. He's like a compassionate, caring Father. He's not reluctant. He does care. In fact, he's not even bothered like the judge. He's not bothered by our continual coming. You know what bothers God? It's not our continuing to come to him with our needs. What bothers God is when we don't continue to come to him with our needs. Now, it gets fun here. Because even though Jesus says we should see ourselves as that widow and consistently come, we've got to realize there's some contrast here too. Because the widow, when she came, she is without relation or connection. But we are God's elect. Did you read it when it said there? It says, be like this widow, but verse 7, and shall not God avenge his own elect to cry day and night? That widow, she had no relation. She had no husband. She had no parents. Amen. She had no relation or connection in the community. When we come like the widow in persistence, but we come with connections. Oh, yes, I'm a child of the King. Glory to God. Oh, how much more should we just keep on coming, because we do have a connection. We are the elect. We are the chosen ones of God. We are the people of God. We're the holy nation. Aren't you glad when you come to God, you don't come as an orphan or a widow, but you come as his child, the elect of God, and God takes care. But the problem that gets to us is something it says in verse 7. It told us earlier that judge, for a while he would not listen. And in verse 7, it says his own elect who cried day and night unto him. Why do they keep crying? Because he bear long with them. I want to just briefly talk about this because it's so important. But how many knows that can really get to us? You see, there's going to be times of delay between when we begin asking and when the answer comes. That's what Jesus is trying to get across. Though he bear long with them. You know, people want to make this faith thing a magical thing. They want to say every time you ask, immediately pop, a snap of the fingers, it's going to happen. They miss a whole lot of scripture in doing that, and here's one of them. He said God's going to answer his people, but sometimes he bears long with them. There is a delay between when his people ask and when the answer comes. When I read, though he bear long with them, that is as frightening to me as it is insightful. I don't like those times of delay between when I ask and when he answers. Anyone here like them? I don't like that. In fact, one of the literal meanings of bearing long with means to be put off. Amen. We shouldn't feel this way, but sometimes we begin to feel like God is putting us off, like that judge was that woman. Amen. We don't like those though he bear long with them times. We don't like them at all. In fact, that's troubled God's people through the ages. How many psalmists, how many prophets asked the question, how long, oh God? God, your people's been praying for 400 years in Egypt's bondage. Brother Norvell, the people of God cried out for deliverance. 400 years. They had all given up when God sent Moses to say, I've heard the prayers for every one of those 400 years, and now I've sent the deliverer. I don't like those long periods of time, though he bear long with them. But I do believe what Jesus was teaching him. However delayed the answer may seem, however the hard times continue to be, we must not doubt that he has heard us, and one day the answer, it will come. Keep on asking. Bother God if you will. Hallelujah. I want to say to us this morning, beware of those that promise the prayer that you'll get immediate response in return for your prayer. I don't care how convincing their teaching on faith may seem. When they start promising an immediate response and answer to your prayer. Now, God can and he does. I'm not saying there's not times he does. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of times there's not the immediate response. And in those times, our response should be to keep on praying. I mean, the hyper-spiritual today make prayer about a faith formula, a special ability you can conjure up. Amen. A situation that you can get into a hyped-up state. But when I read this, I believe Jesus saying prayer is about faithfulness, and faith is about faithfulness. And if you really got faith, it's not that you've got hyped up and you know the right words to say and the right pitch of voice and the right formula to use. If you really got faith, you know how you illustrate faith? It's not in how loud you yell. You really illustrate faith this way. You illustrate it by asking once again when it wasn't answered, and asking once again, and asking once again. You illustrate your faith by your faithfulness to never give up praying. Hallelujah. Even the person that may have the most faith isn't the one that prayed right now and got the answer in 10 seconds. The person with the real faith may be the one that's been praying for 5, 10, 15 years, hasn't seen the answer, but they're still praying and they're still saying there is a God in heaven and he sits on the throne and one day he's going to hear my case. That's the person with faith. And so the underlying promise is this. He'll hear his elect that cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. The underlying promise is, however long it's been, God's going to answer. Aren't you glad for that? God's going to come through. Maybe the problem is sometimes our prayers aren't really crying out, because it says he hears the crying out kind of prayers. Oh, I want my prayers to be crying out prayers. Verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? In other words, to put very simply, when Jesus comes back, will he find folks still praying for something that they've not yet received an answer to. I want that to soak in. When it says, shall the Son of Man, when he comes, how many believes he's coming? When it asks the question, shall he find faith on the earth, in the context, it's asking, when Jesus comes back, will he find folks that are still praying for that thing that they've yet to see an answer for? That's faith. And I'll tell you why. Because when he comes back, whatever prayer you've been praying that hadn't been answered, when he comes back, it's going to be answered. Oh, hallelujah. I may believe that when Jesus comes. That is when the prayers are answered. The sad thing is, before Jesus comes back, before he gets here, many will have already given up. I want to ask a question this morning. Have you given up on what you've been praying for? If you have an unsaved spouse, have you given up praying? Are you still praying? Are you still believing? Never give up praying. Some prayers will only be answered by his coming. Even that will solve everything. Sometimes, because of people's will, that answer won't go just exactly the way we'd want it to, but it will fulfill the plan and the will of God, and it'll bring glory to him and be for our good. Some prayers will only be answered by his coming, but the point is, you may have not got your answer, but will you still be praying when Jesus comes? He is faithful to come. He will come. Will I be faithful to continue to pray? Hallelujah. How can he answer this? How can he answer speedily, the Bible says, when he's been born long with them? I mean, that doesn't seem to make sense. It says he's going to answer them speedily, but it said he bore with them long. How can that be? Because whenever he answers, we will discover it was right on time. Hallelujah. That's how he answers speedily, though he bears long with us. Whenever he answers, it's going to be right on. How many's found that God is that way? We may feel like he's messed things up. He's been too slow to answer. But whenever God answers, it's right on time. Amen. How can it be speedily when it's been delayed? Because when it does come, it'll come all at once. It's going to be like his own coming. Amen. It seems like Jesus has put his coming off. But I'm telling you, when he comes, it's going to be speedily. Hallelujah. It's going to happen. It's going to be over with. Just like that. I'm telling you, that's the way God answers prayer. It seems like things just go on and on and on and on with no answer. But suddenly, as the choir sings, God has intervened and things happen. I've always thought that was kind of like marriage. Someone would refresh my mind about how it can be. Sometimes you get past 16, think if you're a young lady, you're going to be an old maid. Get 18, you're a young man, you think you're never going to be married. You think it's never going to work out. Amen. Maybe you're 21, 22, 23, 24. Amen. I just got to stop the illustration somewhere. But anyway, however long it is, it seems like it's never going to work. And then, boom, it happens. And then you're sitting there going, what happened to me? No, not quite. I just threw that in. It just seems like it's never going to happen. And then it happens. Hallelujah. I liked it when they used to sing, the answer's on its way. Yes, I know. Have you got the answer to your prayer yet? No, but the answer's on its way. How can you say the answer's on its way? Because if it comes to it, I can tell you, Jesus is on his way. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming again. All right, let's bring it all together. What should we do? With this parable, what should we do? Let's talk to we believers. First of all, we must realize there is an alternative to giving up. If you're here this morning, you feel like giving up, the alternative is don't give up. Pray. You need not faint. But I want you to notice before I go on that this is not just a suggested alternative. It is a command of God, because he said men ought always to pray and not to faint. It's more than a suggestion, Sister Brock. It's what our Lord is emphatically telling us to do. Don't give up. Pray. As believers, secondly, we must remember prayer is not just therapeutic, but it's talking to a listening God. I know science has proved that if there's never a miracle, just the fact that someone's sick in the hospital, if they have folks come in and pray with them, if they're a praying person, they heal faster, they get out, all of that. And folks will say it's not because there's a God that answers prayer. It's just therapeutic to pray. It's an emotional catharsis. It's just a release of all, you know, and all of this. It just puts people in a positive frame of mind. And all of those may be true, but I'm telling you, prayer is more than therapeutic. Prayer is talking to a listening God. You don't just say, well, I feel better because I prayed. I mean, nothing happened, but I feel. He heard you. I said, he heard you. Amen. Then we must remember that we're not beggars. We are the elect. When you pray this morning, amen, look at God. I'm not talking about pride. I'm talking about recognizing what our position is. God, I am one of your chosen ones. I didn't deserve to be chose, but by your mercy, you chose me. Hallelujah. Oh, they used to sing, he chose me. He chose me. How many elect do we have this morning? Let me see. Are you the elect? We got away from that word, Brother Heath, and our Armenian persuasion. But we are the elect of God. Hallelujah. There's no predestination in that God just might arbitrarily chose some of us. I'll tell you who he chose. Let me see it one more time. You've been chosen of God. Let me see your hand. You know why he chose you? Because you chose Christ. Hallelujah. Everyone that chooses Christ, he will choose them. We are the elect of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We don't even have to fight through the primaries. He just went ahead and chose us. Glory to God. We are his. No second tier. Hallelujah. Then we must realize we must take our problems to the one who can help us. I know, and I try to qualify too much. I know it's good to have a brother or sister to confide in and to be a sounding board and get help from. But I'm telling you, if you got a problem, take it to the one who can help. Hallelujah. How many things could be solved if folks would just do that? Amen. Don't be a part of the problem. Be a part of the solution. Take it to God. Take it to God. Take it to God. Take it to God. Take it to the one who can help you. Amen. And then we must realize, unlike the widow, we do have someone to represent in us. She stood there for the lack of resources and had no lawyer to represent her. But I'm telling you, every time we come to God, right beside us we have one to represent us, the mediator between God and man. And when we begin to pray, he, Jesus Christ, begins to pray and make intercession for us. And then, this is going to be deep, then we need to pray again. Last of all, to the believers, we must realize that the only way to fail is to fail to pray. And then I'd like to say to the unbeliever, I've had unbelievers come to me disturbed and say, will God hear my prayer, since I'm an unbeliever? Well, God will hear you if you'll see yourself as that needy widow. If you see yourself as someone that's bankrupt by sin, has great needs in your life that only God can help you with, and you come to God as a widow, but in recognizing your needs, you come with the prayer of repentance and the prayer for deliverance, he will hear those prayers. I'd also like to say to the unbeliever, God is not an unjust judge. Right now, he is a father, but one day he will be the just judge. And so come to him now when he will meet you as a caring father. And don't wait to the day when he must approach, or you must approach him as your judge. Hallelujah. Now's the time to come to God, the merciful Savior. Amen. This widow went for help not as a criminal, but as one that had been done wrong. But if the unbeliever does not come to God now, one day they will approach the judgment and the judge as a criminal and as a sinner and be convicted to eternal damnation. But you don't have to wait to come to him as that kind of judge. Then you can come to him as the loving, caring Savior and Father today. Last of all, I'd like to say to the church, I believe the church should be a place where all and any feel welcomed to come and call on God. May the church always have an atmosphere. We don't believe in interruption of service just because somebody wants to steal the show. But I'm telling you, if somebody's really got a need and that cry for God is coming out of their heart, it doesn't matter if it's song service or not, you just start crying out to Him. Church ought to be a place where people feel welcomed to come and call on God, regardless of who they are and where they've been and what they've done. And then I like to say the church is a place to help the fainting. Friends, how many times have you felt like you was on your last spiritual leg, just about ready to faint, and you stumbled into the house of God? And in that atmosphere of prayer and worship, you begin to pray one more time, and strength came into your soul. That's why, you know, as many years as I've preached this, I still have folks do it. I call people that's been missing church. Why haven't you been at church? I'm so discouraged. That's when you need to come. You may have to drag yourself here. You may have to call with your cell phone, say, I need some folks to kind of help me walk into church. I just don't feel like I can spiritually make it. Whatever you've got to do, the church is the place. How do I know it can help the fainting? Because it's the house of prayer. Hallelujah. And that's why it must always be the house of prayer. We have other things. We have socials. There's one tonight after service I forgot to announce. Fundraising fellowship. All those are part of the life. But the most important thing is that this is a house of prayer, because it's where people are praying that somebody gets the strength in their soul that way they need. Last of all, this morning, church should be the place where one is encouraged to call on God, because that's what others are doing. Hallelujah. I mean, people come in here needing help and they're encouraged to call on God because that's exactly what others are doing. I'm telling you, that is so encouraging when you got your own need to come into a place and hear someone in the prayer room, someone in the pew, someone in the, they're calling on God. It isn't long till you feel like joining them. Amen. It just makes it easy to hear another praying is a catalyst to one that feels like he's given up. And as a church, we must never give in, give up, give out as the individual Christian. Because hear me, sometimes just like the individual believer, the church as a whole will feel faint. The church as a whole will be in troubling times. The church as a whole will feel weary and lacking of strength. But as a church, when we get to those places, it's no place to give up. It's no place to back down. It's no place to back off. It's time that we hit the prayer room with renewed fervency as a church and pray till the church mounts up with wings as eagles. Would you come, music? A woman dreamed that she died and went to heaven. An angel was assigned to give her a tour of heaven. And as they were walking down different avenues and different hallways in heaven, the lady noticed a room off to the side. She knows it because it was, the door was cracked open just a little bit. And through the door, she saw these stacks and stacks of boxes, and that confused her. And so she interrupted the angel. She said, pardon me. She said, I hate to interrupt you. Nice tour, by the way. She said, I hate to interrupt you, but what's those boxes doing in there? And he said, you know, nobody ever asked about those. And he pushes open the door and walks her into the room. And he's beginning to tell her, but all of a sudden she sees a whole stack of boxes. And she just freezes because she recognizes the name on them. There was like a mailing address on there, and she recognized the name. It was her name. She tuned back into the angel, and he said, what these are, he said, as soon as God's people begin to pray, he instructs us to get the answer ready and prepare it to take to them. But he said he's given us one condition, and that is we can only deliver this answer to prayer. We can only deliver it to the place where they're praying. And he said, we get these answers. I mean, hear someone pray, and we get the answers already. We get it packaged up, get the label on it, and we head to earth to the place that they were praying for this thing. But somewhere on the way there, we discovered they've quit praying for that thing. And so we can't deliver it. And so here's this huge warehouse room with stack after stacks with answers to prayer with the people's name on it, but they quit praying before we got it delivered. That could happen to Daniel. Because when he began to pray, the angel said, I was on the way. Isn't that what it says? Hallelujah. I want to ask you this morning, what have you quit praying for? Would you stand? If you feel, if you know that you're the elect of God, would you lift your hands right now and say, thank you, Father, you're going to hear me. It's never a matter of God hearing us. It's never a matter of God hearing us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wonder right now, how many's got a need that only God can help you? Would you come right now? I'm not saying you haven't been praying for it. That's between you and the Lord, but you've got a need that only God can help you. Would you come right now and just begin to fill the altar? Only God, you want to bring it to Him one more time. I'm telling you, everyone that's walking down this aisle is showing faith. This is faith. Some of you have prayed about these things for years. Pray one more time. Pray once again. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Oh, bring it to the one who can help. Bring it to the one who can help. Bring it to the one who can help. Bring it to the one who can help.